Welcome to the Moral Marriage Podcast, guys, where we are creating the new marriage where you can save the worst of the worst. And I am excited about this episode because I want to talk about partnership. I can't stress this enough. Catherine and I learn in one of two ways.
We're going to talk about why peace is so important in the home.
Stop trying to lead and make decisions all the time.
You should not be proud if you raised your voice and screamed at them.
No matter what.
I'm Cass.
And I'm Catherine. Why am I allowing him to do this in front of our children? Why am I allowing this to happen at all? You don't get to say whatever you want to a man and push him to the point where he snaps.
I might have been a really bad man the other day, but today I went out of my way to be a good man, and she thanked me for it.
Is that you always want to act in the direction you want to go. So
he is just a paycheck. What about his needs?
We're Moral Marriage.
Let's flip divorce statistics with the new marriage.
One, we go out and we learn. Two, we reflect like nobody's business. And I guess I would add three, we hold each other accountable to, not necessarily accountable, we do, but
we hold certain standards.
We question each other on reflections. We challenge each other in a loving, compassionate, and educational way because we recognize we both have different strengths. And it's the only way to, like, if you heard us talk, we want superpower couples. The reason we can say confidently 30 years from now, disrupting divorce is the goal, meaning there aren't divorce cases as the normal, that it's not normal to get divorced. The reason we can say that is because of these kinds of things, learning, reflecting, and challenging the reflections. And while I was away, I was gone for 12 days. Now, this is important to understand. We never had a separation since things became good in our marriage, meaning there was a forced 30-day restraining order in separation. Okay.
In 2018.
That's right. So when things were bad, that's when we separated. Other than that, like, I went to Atlanta for a talk show and
he was gone for like 36 hours.
No. That was the same day. I was up midnight and then back the next night. I think it was like 22 hours. Like, we don't like to be apart. In fact, people say, oh, I see my partner all the time. COVID, we're living here. Listen,
I need to go on girls trips. I need to go on boys trips. Yeah. We don't do that.
Yeah, we literally work together, live together. We have a little bit of our own independence and things like that. But at the end of the day, we're together all the time. Mm-hmm. And so this was very challenging. This was a choice for me to go to Africa. Catherine didn't feel the need. She obviously believed in God. She already seen miracles. She already trusts, has faith, supercharged faith. I needed it. So there was no if, and, or but. When we heard that there was an opportunity, I was like, I'm in. And at the exact same time I said that, Catherine was like, you're going.
You have to go.
Yeah. And we said it like the same time. Yeah. It's weird. That
is not an option. Yeah. You're going to Africa.
Exactly. And yeah. So that's, by the way, super connected. We're on the same page all the time. Actually, you say same letter.
Yeah. Same page, same sentence, same word, same letter.
That's right. So today I want to talk about reflection and learning. Okay. You had a pretty powerful reflection while I was gone. So this wasn't just like, oh, I'm gone for a few days. I was gone for 12 days. We couldn't talk. It was a 61-hour trip to get to Africa with the planes, with the delays, with the transportation on the road. And it was a lot. And there was not good service there in Africa. I got a SIM card there and the internet still sucked. And like, it sucked. It sucked not being able to talk as much as you want to. Mm-hmm. And by the way, for those of you who struggle with insecurity, it's glorious to not have insecurity ruling you. Oh my gosh, that was a great reflection for me. I know a couple times because we didn't connect at night or something like that. The kids were with you or whatever. And like, it still happens, guys, but you can check it, you know? But you had a pretty powerful reflection. And when I told the men on the trip about it, they were like, that is beautiful. That's literally how they put it. They go, that is beautiful. I like it if you could share with everybody, please.
I'm really interested to see how you shared it for it to sound so beautiful, because it's not going to sound beautiful when I say it.
Okay, well, I'll start first and then I'll see
how. Okay. I share it. Yeah. Okay. So I did say to him at one point, because one of the things, we don't fight about a lot of things, but sometimes things will bubble up and it'll come down to partnership. It'll come down to, you know, one of us not feeling connected. It comes down to connection, you know, and he needs to feel extremely connected to me. He's done a lot better. He just mentioned with the insecurities, but he does still need that heavy, heavy connection. He needs to be touched. He needs to be connected. And so oftentimes it'll be him feeling like I'm not his partner and I need to be mindful of touching him and affirming him and all of those sorts of things for him to feel whole, that's what God made women to do. He's not supposed to be whole, right? I think, Eve was made, I think. I don't mean I think. Eve was made from one of Adam's ribs. Therefore, he can't be whole unless he has Eve. He wasn't meant to be whole. Your husband wasn't meant to be whole without you. So that's sometimes why they have this burning desire to have you be their partner. And it can, there's a lot of things that can get in the way with that, including children. Now, this is a different example because when he was gone, normally I would say on a day-to-day, I am a pretty good mom. I do lose my cool sometimes.
Great mom.
Thank you. I lose my cool sometimes, but it's really, it's not daily. You know, it's every few days and it bubbles up. And then sometimes it's a little bit worse than others, but I work really hard. I'm intentional about being patient, being kind, giving extra chances, not punishing, loving, connecting.
Kind of like a teachable moment for men that are listening. Men that are listening. This is when, you know, you think, well, I work and I provide and, you know, that's your job. You take care of the home and the kids. What you miss, pick up what Catherine just said right now. That emotional tension, that emotional drain that a woman goes through mothering the children day in, day. Think about when you have a stressful day and your kids snap or they lose their poop or you just want to fix them because they fell over and it hurt. And like, you have to understand, that's what your wife goes through. I could not have done 12 days alone. I mean, I could, but it's 12 days would have like been, I probably would have lost my poop.
Well, and this is the, right? This is the whole point of the, of this conversation because, and it's really important to recognize that I don't want to give the secret away too soon. Okay. So I'm generally a pretty good mom. He says I'm a great mom. Incredible. I work really hard. I'm intentional. I connect. I do all the things. I try not to punish. I try not to yell. I apologize all the time and things go pretty well in our home. We have wonderful children. We have a wonderful partnership, wonderful husband, wonderful dad. Pretty good mom. Any mom that thinks that she's a wonderful mom is lying to you. Nobody actually thinks that.
If you're real with yourself, you should be.
You should be questioning and you should always try to be better. Just like I say, he's a wonderful dad. He says, I'm a wonderful mom. That's
the reflecting part that I was talking about. Guys.
So as soon as he was gone, and this is why this is so powerful. As soon as he was gone, my kids acted like different kids.
A-holes.
It was so hard for me. I yelled every day. And I don't yell every day. I will get firm with them. But even then, I try not to be firm. Right, honey? Like if I can, I tolerate as much as possible.
100%.
As much. I try to let them get all their emotions out. And no matter what they're doing, I try to figure out how to do it in a way that's fair. And I work really hard. It's exhausting. But I yelled every single day, sometimes twice. And so I was so dysregulated. My kids were so dysregulated. My kids pushed every limit, every boundary. Now I had someone every button. I had someone come and visit me for a few days who was really helpful. She has, I don't even know. She has got four kids and then she raised, I think, two stepchildren and I think four or six grandchildren. She came to stay with me for a few days. And so she was very helpful and she could obviously see that I was struggling because the kids were different children without my husband just being in the house. As soon as he was gone, knowing that he was somewhere else. Now he could leave the house and my kids are still wonderful kids. This time, I can't actually say that they were wonderful kids. I don't know what happened to them. And so anyway, so I had some support, still wasn't the same. They still weren't acting the same. I was still not feeling, I was anxious the entire time. I sent him a message saying, honey, I know that you struggle sometimes when I am not giving you what you need to feel like a partnership, but I can tell you 100% the partnership that we have is 1,000,000% undeniable because of our home and the way our home has crumbled without just having him be present. The morning after he came home, he probably is like, what are you talking about? This is so easy. Honestly, all he had to do was be in the house. The kids didn't wake up screaming. The kids didn't yell at me. And he also came in with some support saying, you know, I heard how you treated mama. I heard that you weren't following any rules. I heard that you've been hitting. I've heard that you've been screaming. I've heard that you've been doing all these things. And again, I try to be patient with the hitting, the screaming, that everything. He's more of the more structure, which I think that's what it needs to be in every home. Dads, if your wife is holding all the weight, you need to come in and provide structure because she is naturally more nurturing. I hate it when I yell. He hates it when I yell too. Everybody hates it when I yell. But I try to keep everything subdued because it would be devastating to me if he yelled at them. Because that means that everybody's out of control and then he has to step in and yell. So sometimes I'm not trying to justify my yelling. I don't want to justify yelling. But this is sometimes what happens. You bubble up and you get to that point of yelling where you don't, like if he steps in and helps me, And I don't want to say helps me like it's not his job, but I am the main childcare provider. So sure. He is helping me with my role. Women, get off your high horse and let your husband help you and stop getting offended when you say your husband is helping. He is helping. He's still a parent. But if you're the one number one parent, let him help. Does that make sense? I think that word is so misconstrued. Because, no, my husband's not helping. He's parenting. No, you're the number one parent, mothers, usually. He is helping you. He is assisting you. It doesn't take away from his role as a dad. But anyway, back on track, him being present in the home, coming in, just having the air of, they call him Dua, Dua's home. Him stepping in with a very simple, what would take me yelling, he can come in and say, hey, don't talk to mama that way. And it changes. And I literally have to bubble over for 30 minutes and then I lose it. So This whole partnership discussion is about, I think for me, it's showing the value in having that strong partnership that we have, but then also recognizing men, you have such, I always say women have so much power in the relationship to influence their husband. And they do. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the family unit, wives, moms, you have so much power. You have so much influence, but you need to do what you need to do, whatever you need to do to get your husband influenced in this partnership. That is what is going to keep your family cohesive. Wives, you cannot do it on your own. If you are doing it on your own, bless your heart. I know some people don't have a choice. My heart is with you. Oh my goodness. I didn't realize how hard it was. But if you're not doing it on your own and you're focusing your energy on your children, stop. You need to focus your energy on allowing your husband and edifying your husband to be the man that he needs to be. Because when he supports you in parenting, the whole house is different. And this is, we talked about Christianity and God in the last episode. This is what God intended. The man is at the top of the food chain in the house. It doesn't mean that he rules with power. And
I don't put my foot down on you. Like,
No, he's there as a support. He's there. I have to look up to him because my children look up to me. I look up to him and they also look up to him. And it takes very little for him to come in with a gentle correction to assist, help, enforce, enhance what the mother is trying to do. It's so important. I will never take it for granted. I think I did take it for granted. I don't know if I told you that, honey.
You did.
I took it so for granted thinking, you know, I made jokes actually, because when the kids were little, I was like, I don't actually need him. I just didn't want to give 50% of them to him because he was a narcissist. And then now I sometimes joke, you can just have them 50% of the time because they're so difficult. But then in my mind, I'm thinking, no, I can handle it. No, I think I could if I had to. So again, with the wives, moms that don't have a choice, my heart is with you. And I know that you have to do what you have to do. But if you have the chance to support your husband in the growth that he needs to do, this is what the game changer is going to be. That partnership is going to set the example for your children. And it's going to be, I know some of the moms are focused on your children because you can't focus on your relationship because your marriage sucks. Well, it's going to be a lot easier all around if you can get your marriage not to suck.
Yeah. I want to talk about that to finish the episode, but let me just quickly address. So when I was talking to Pastor Brian and Pastor Weeks, like they said it was beautiful because that's what it was. I said, I didn't go on for as long as Catherine did, but I kept it simple. And it was like, yeah, actually Catherine, my kids, we usually call them tornadoes in a hurricane. I just said, they're not tornadoes. They're tornadoes. They're complete tornadoes. And I had mentioned that she was struggling a little bit for the first few days. And then when Catherine, you had this reflection very early on, like, mm-hmm. I think it was maybe like I was in Africa for 3 days or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought it up, and then I brought it up again later. And one of the times that I said, I just said that you really felt like you needed to be clear. Guys, this is conversation, not communication, conversation. She was so clear. I'm sorry. I don't ever want to take you for granted again. Mm-hmm. I realize what it takes to be a partnership. And I understand how much you're involved, and I didn't realize. And I just relayed maybe a couple sentences to them. And mm-hmm. they were like, that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is, guys, because in that's the edification she's talking about. That's the support, the lifting that brings me home, wanting to be the foundation, the pillar, the ceiling, the structured safe container for everybody to have the sound structure to move forward. You really are supposed to lead, man. You really are supposed to. That doesn't mean I'm perfect all the time. There's lots of times where I am elevating and you'll put your hand on my back and say, baby, I got this, mm-hmm. you know, but because I can show up and do what she's describing, now she's able to have the pressure. You know, I'll give you a really good example. sometimes she's, you guys have probably heard me say this before, but I'll come home or I'll be doing something. I'll put the computer away or whatever. And she'll go, she'll just say to the kids, talk to Dua. It's like, not even talk to me. And I used to sort of, I used to feel like a little disrespected, like I'm not your bitch or whatever feeling I was, you know, nice guy bullshit in my head. But I realized something, and that was that she's just done. She's checked out. The thing where your wife goes to the bathroom for 4 hours, not like you men. You go fucking hide in the bathroom and play on scroll on social media or stocks, whatever.
I don't go in the bathroom to hide, by the way. Maybe I should start. I heard it's a good strategy.
Well, it's better than going to Mexico. I thought she'd be in Mexico when I got back from
Mexico. I considered it.
My point is, like, many women do. I learned this from having the gym and training so many women for so long. Many women go hide in the bathroom. You need to be the foundation, the pillar, and the ceiling. Provide the home where in the relief. I call it relief because it is helping. I teach
it
men.
Is get off of your high horse about how men need to be the same as women with parenting. You need to be a parent, but they're different roles. Well, stop saying they're not.
I teach men, do not say that you're helping. I tell them to think about being involved. That's because women are making it difficult and it's because it's easier for them. I can't, you might not agree. Go look at my social media. Anytime it comes up, help comes up. There's like 30 women on a viral post instantly saying, it's not helping. You're not babysitting, blah, blah, blah. Just listen. It's a perfect analogy.
Yeah. If what you're doing isn't working, maybe you need to listen to us. Cause I'll tell you, especially after 12 days of absence, what we are doing does work. And he does help me because he recognized I've wanted to be a mom up my entire life. Like most women, right? How many baby dolls did you raise?
That's right.
So many. And so, how many kids did you babysit when you pretended to be their mom and you play house with your little kids and you're the mama? I mean, maybe you didn't, but I did that when I was babysitting. We used to play little games. So just stop arguing with it. It's not working. If you're getting on his social media and you're arguing about how it's not help, that's because he's not actually being involved. If he was being involved, the word help wouldn't have gotten bastardized.
It wouldn't matter. You wouldn't be caring about babysitting because that's kind of what it feels like. You're babysitting. If you're at work all day long and now you're with the kids, it's what it feels like. Don't fucking call it. You have to be parenting. Who cares? If you're actually a partnership, you don't feel that way. Now, I want to just end it with this. At the end of the day, the bottom line is quite simple. You need to want a partnership like this. The emotions that we're talking about that need to be managed with your children. The reason why your marriage sucks, there's so many things you're looking at. You always look for, oh, this is the problem over here. This is the problem over here. Listen, nobody does well in a tense atmosphere. Think about it. When things are great and somebody you don't like walks in the room and it's tense, what's the atmosphere like? You're not having fun. So get off your high horse and recognize this is a priority. That does not mean your children are the priority. It means your relationship is a priority and you can manage those emotions the best way you know how as a partnership. Then the tensions relieve and the energy starts to come up. That's why I say on the rejection ladder, energy is the bottom rung. Where do you think? I don't make this shit up, guys. I just figured it out. Use it. Actually, I do kind of make some of it up. But anyway.
You have your own stuff.
Yes, right. All right,
guys. And because he did come home, I didn't have to rehome any of my children.
Yeah. They're no longer for sale. The marketplace listing is gone. All right, guys.
See you next time.
If you guys are getting value, please leave a review. We need your support because we want to reach more people. Appreciate you guys. See ya.